some of my encounters with Srila Prabhupada. I joined ISKCON quite late, actually. I came in contact with ISKCON in 1970, but at times I feel that I was so unfortunate that I couldn't join at that time. And probably I was not ready to receive Prabhupada's mercy at that time. I came across ISKCON in Hamburg in Germany in 1970, and I visited the temple a few times, but unfortunately I got into an unpleasant encounter with the temple president and I stopped going, and not only stopped going, like, I would avoid the devotees. If I saw the devotees on this side of the road, I would go to the other side of the road. And it's anyway, but then in 1975 I came back to India, because at some point I realized that I wanted to take to spiritual life, and so I came back to India. In those days I had a misconception that as soon as I come to India, I'll find the Guru and he will lead me on the spiritual path. But when I came back to India, that disillusion was completely destroyed, because I met many sadhus, but I was totally disappointed with them. I could see that, I could realize at least that I won't be able to surrender myself to them. And those days, it never occurred to me that ISKCON could be that institution. Srila Prabhupada is the personality who is my guru. And I was traveling to different places, meeting different spiritual personalities, staying in different ashrams, but I never thought of entering into ISKCON. I went by ISKCON many times in Calcutta, went past ISKCON temple, but never thought of entering into the temple and searching for spiritual guidance. And then one day a friend of mine came back. He was my very good friend, we were very close, and he joined ISKCON. And he came back to Calcutta. He joined in Berlin. And then he came back to Calcutta. He came back to India. He, at that time, he was the vice president of Delhi Temple. And then he came to Calcutta and he came to see me. And I was very happy to see him. But I couldn't really think that he was serious. I even asked him, "Are you serious about what you're doing?" Because it never occurred to me that that ISKCON can be that spiritual institution. And he told me, yes, he was dead serious. And he told me about the regulative principles and it was quite shocking to see him because he was not a kind of a person who would follow such a strict life. He was quiet. And then he used to invite me to come to the temple, and so I went to Calcutta temple with him. I liked it because, as Gauranga Prabhu mentioned in the class during his question today, that most of the devotees those days were Westerners, mostly American. And I found them to be very, I mean, their association was quite stimulating. And it was quite impressive. One of the first persons that I had an encounter with was Bhaktivedanta Maharaj. Those days his name was Anirdesha Bapu. And he gave me some prasad, fruit prasad. It was in the afternoon. He gave me some fruit prasad and he started to explain that how this prasad is more powerful than 1,000 Ashwamedh sacrifices. And I was impressed. Here is an American and he knows about Ashwamedh sacrifice and the potency of prasad. And then another person I found quite stimulating. His association was Kundali Prabhu. I don't know whether you know him. He is also American. Actually, in Calcutta temple, practically everybody was American at that time. And so I went and it was nice to speak to them. And then I wanted to take a book. And actually I wanted to take a Bhagavad Gita. But they didn't have a Bhagavad Gita for some reason. So I said, give me any book. And so probably they thought that since I wanted a book, since I wanted a Bhagavad Gita, the book has to be of the same size as Bhagavad Gita. So he came up with a Nectar of Devotion. I said, okay, I'll take that. Generally, Nectar of Devotion, one doesn't give Nectar of Devotion as a preliminary reading. it's an advanced book, advanced course. But I took Nectar of Devotion and went back home. And then I started to read. And when I started to read, it just hit me. From the very first page, I got a very clear understanding from the very first page that God is a person and Krishna is God. I'm sure many of you also must have gone through the same dilemma that although we know about God, but we don't have a clear understanding of God. Many of us have an impersonal concept of God. And so I just was, it came so vivid, it struck me that Krishna is God, God is a person. And then, gave such a clear understanding of liberation. What is liberation? Liberation is to become situated in devotional service to Krishna, in a constitutional position. And then not only liberation, when we are pursuing spiritual life or developing interest for spiritual life, it was main concept is actually liberation. like especially when the impersonal approach, when you make an impersonal approach, the liberation the goal becomes to achieve liberation. And here, for the first time, I got a clear understanding that what is liberation, and there are so many different types of liberation. And it sounded so authentic. And then there is a positive liberation and negative liberation. That merging in Brahman is not a liberation, it's actually, it's punishment. That is not a liberation. And then there are four different other types of liberation. And it just occurred to me that this is what I was looking for. This clear understanding of God, the clear understanding of developing our relationship with Him, and liberation actually is to become connected to Him. That is what constitutes liberation. And I just couldn't stop reading. I just continued to read till I fell asleep, and I was completely enamored by that book, The Nectar of Devotion. And the next morning when I woke up, the first thing I did is pick up the book and start reading. And I remember that that day I was just, the only thing I was doing is just read. I couldn't stop reading Nectar of Devotion. And that night, the next night, I had a dream. And I dreamt of Srila Prabhupada. I don't know whether I can call it a dream, because it was so vivid. Although it was taking place in another dimension, but I was fully conscious, like it was as if I was wide awake. And there I saw Srila Prabhupada, which appeared to be like Prabhupada was sitting on a singhasan, on a throne. Those days I did not know what a vasasan was, because generally sadhus in India don't sit on a vasasan, on an elaborate seat. They sit on simple seats, at the most a tiger skin or a deer skin. So there Prabhupada was sitting on a singhasan, on a throne, and there was a brilliant light around Srila Prabhupada. And as if the light was just coming out of Prabhupada's body, and the whole atmosphere was, whole surrounding was brilliantly lit up with the light coming out of Srila Prabhupada's body. And just the sight of Srila Prabhupada, and I had my feeling, I had, my heart became completely filled with joy that finally I found my spiritual master. All this while I was searching for my spiritual master, couldn't find him. And at one point I thought that if at all I have a spiritual master, then let him come and pick me up. I am not going to look for him anymore. Let him come and pick me up. And when I saw Srila Prabhupada, my heart just became filled with joy, with the thought that now I found my spiritual master. I didn't ask any question. It was just that total contentment of heart, that I found my spiritual master. And I offered obeisances to Srila Prabhupada. The next day I went to Calcutta temple and inquired where Srila Prabhupada was. And they told me that Prabhupada was in America. But I decided that I would wait till Prabhupada came back to India, and then I will surrender myself unto him, and until then I will travel to different places. I'll travel to different places where Mahaprabhu performed his pastimes, Krishna performed his pastimes. So thinking that, the first place I went to was Mayapur. And I arrived in Mayapur in the evening, I actually went there at the time of evening aaratik, and then I spoke to different devotees, and they were very, very, very friendly, very kind and welcoming. Because those days hardly anyone used to go to Mayapur. Mayapur was so remote, and when they found when somebody went, they were really happy. And everyone was asking me, whoever I spoke to, whichever devotee I spoke to, he was asking me, why don't I stay on? Why don't I stay and give it a try, to become a devotee? Like, you know how enthusiastic devotees are when they get a new customer. So, and I also started to think that, yeah, I mean, I already made up my mind and these devotees are so welcoming. So, yeah, why don't I join? But I didn't tell anything to them. And I remember that evening, after the evening aaratik, the devotees asked me to come to the Bhagavad Gita class. Those days, the Bhagavad Gita class used to take place not in the temple room, but upstairs in the what used to be the GBC conference room in Lotus Building. So I went, and Bhakti Raghav Maharaj was giving the class. Those days he was not a sannyasi, he was a brahmachari. His name was Raghav Pandit Prabhu. And the whole atmosphere was so enchanting. The serene atmosphere, so peaceful. And then here is an American, he was speaking so eloquently on the topic of Bhagavad Gita, on the topic of spiritual life. And I distinctly remember when he was giving the class, I felt as if the whole class, as if he was directly speaking to me. And he was speaking about the futility of materialistic way of life and the importance of accepting spiritual life, how our real identity is spiritual, we are spirit souls, we are not this body. And everything just came with such a clear realization what he was speaking. But I remember I was very, very impressed. And the next morning I attended the program, and I made up my mind to join. And when they were inviting, I thought, yeah, why don't I join? Like, everyone was practically asking, why don't you stay? Why don't you give it a try? Why don't you see how wonderful this life is? And so I thought, yeah, let me join. So I got a dhoti and kurta. There used to be a shop there, got a dhoti and kurta, and I went to the Ganges. No, before going to the Ganges, I went to a barber and got my head shaved. Went to the Ganges, I threw away my old clothes, and I became a devotee. And I thought, at that time I thought, at the back of my mind, that let me give it a try, let's see how it will be. And if I don't like it, then in some time my hair will grow and I can go back. So, and it was quite nice the way it all happened. And at the beginning, the devotees were surprised. I mean, they were asking me to join, but when they saw that I was serious about it, I got shaved up and joined, then they really started to think that something may be wrong with me. So they just wanted to check me out. Like the temple commander was told, who was a very good friend of mine, who has become in course of time a very good friend of mine, one of my most intimate friends. I mean, he really gave me a tough time those days. So he can kind of, I mean, upon being ordered by the higher authorities, he just made it a point to engage me all the time and give me the toughest kind of, the most difficult kind of, and most testing services. The first service he gave me was to go to the field and cut grass for the cows. I never cut grass before in my whole life. But you know, I was happy and I thought, oh, it's for the cows I'm going to cut the grass. That's so wonderful. Because I already understood the importance of cows and rendering service to the cows. All the demigods are in the body of the cows. And cows are so dear to Krishna. So I took it as a very wonderful service. So I rendered that service. And I had to cut the grass with the daily laborers. Actually, that service was given to the laborers. The villagers used to come on a daily basis and they used to cut grass. And it was nice. And then the next service he gave, asked me to do was to help the cooking of the mass khichdi that they used to distribute to the people on, like a kind of a Sunday feast. But the Sunday feast in Mayapur was about few hundred people used to come and get khichdi. And because all the people used to come from the villages. And there was a, probably you have seen that if you have gone to the kitchen of Mayapur, that's still there. It's a huge kadai. Probably you can boil a person in that kadai. And it is fixed on the oven, on the fire, on the chula. And it was cooked in log fire. And so the person who was in charge of making those khichdi, I went and reported to him that I had been sent to help cooking. And he just looked at me, you know, and he thought that it was a joke. So he said, okay, bring the log. He pointed out the outside, there was a pile of logs. And he wanted me to bring those logs inside the kitchen. He asked me to bring some logs, but he didn't tell me how many. So he pointed out to that that huge pile of logs and for cooking. And he saying that he just left. And I just kept on bringing logs. I practically filled up half the kitchen. So after about half an hour, 45 minutes, he came back and he saw the kitchen is filled with logs, and he gave me another dirty look, and as if I was the stupidest creature he had ever seen. And then he asked me to take the logs out of back into the pile. So I took that out, and so these were the first few experiences that I had after joining. But this didn't last for very long. One day, I think the temple commander was taking care of me very nicely. But one day I was really tired and I just fell asleep. Just lying on the floor in one of the rooms. I think that was a library or something. So I was reading something. I used to be very fond of reading, but unfortunately after I joined, I barely got any time to read. And although Prabhupada's books are the basis, but I was thinking that so little time I get to read Srila Prabhupada's books. Anyway, so in that library I fell asleep, just lying on the floor. I was lying on the floor, asleep. Then he came and he woke me up. And he woke me up quite roughly. And that was it. I just flared up. I just started to blast him. And he was taken aback, you know, when I started to shout at him. And then he went and reported to his higher authorities, the sannyasis. And then at that time, Bhavananda Prabhu, he was a sannyasi at that time, Bhavananda Maharaj. He was one of the co-directors. Him and Jayapataka Maharaj were two co-directors. Actually, at that time, Jayapataka Maharaj was not there. Bhavananda Maharaj was there. But Jayapataka Maharaj mainly used to travel and preach. And so then Bhavananda actually blasted that temple commander. And he told him right in front of me that Krishna sent some nice boy and this is how he is treating, then how does he expect that I'll feel like staying in this movement? And I don't know whether you met Bhavananda Prabhu. He went to Chopati temple a few times. He loves Chopati temple. He was very appreciative of Chopati temple. Many a times he told me. I mean, when he blasts, I mean, he is heavy. And from then onwards, the thing improved and I started to get some very nice treatment. And you see, those days it was a mango season, and so the big leaders of the big devotees used to sit on the roof of the lotus building with a huge pile of mangoes. And some brahmacharis used to cut the mangoes and give them, and they used to eat them. So I was invited to the mango party. So naturally I enjoyed that. And the temple commander was cutting the mangoes and serving them. So I went to that one day. The next day I didn't go. So Bhavananda Maharaj asked me, how come you didn't come in the afternoon to have mango with us? And I told him, it's very nice of you that you are inviting me to have mango. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. But then I thought that now you're inviting me. But if someday you don't invite me, then I'll feel bad. So I decided that better I don't go to the mango party. And anyway, so this is how it all started. The first service I wanted is to work in the goshala. So the boy who was taking care of the goshala, actually I was quite a devotee. Many devotees want, those days there were not so many devotees, so every departments were running with a short staff. And so the goshala, the devotee who was taking care of the goshala, he asked me whether I would like to be in the goshala. And I thought that's the most wonderful service, like to serve the cows. So I went and told Babananda Prabhu that I would like to serve in the goshala. He said, no, the goshala service is for the village boys. He said, that service is not for you. Anyway, then the Gurukul headmaster there, he tried to get me in the Gurukul. So I went and told Bhavananda that I would like to be in the Gurukul. So he said, no, Gurukul is not going to be the right service for you. And I got a little upset. I said, look, you don't want me to serve in the goshala because you think that it's just not a proper service for me, it's a service for the village boys. And then Gurukul, I want to teach in the Gurukul and you don't want me to serve in the Gurukul. What's the matter? So, and he told me, yes, I don't want you to serve in the Gurukul because do you know that all these boys wait their bed at night and the whole place stinks? And I know that you won't be able to tolerate it for more than one day. So that's why I'm saying that you shouldn't go to the Gurukul. So he gave me then the service with Pancharatna Prabhu. Pancharatna Prabhu was in charge of the construction of the long building. So he gave me that service. To be assistant of Pancharatna Prabhu. It was very nice. Pancharatna Prabhu is a very nice devotee. And from that time onwards, I was swamped with service. There's so much to do. Like in one hand, I had to take care of this supply for the long building construction. And there were not many Indian devotees who could take care of that kind of service. Like I had to go buy the materials from the nearby town called Krishnanagar, and often I had to go to Calcutta. I had to deal with the railway departments because often supply used to come by train, like stone chips and cements and anyway, so this is how my involvement started. And then in one day I found Prabhupada's writings in the old Gaudiya Math magazine called Gaudiya Patrika. So I started to compile them, collect them, and decided to print a book. Compile them into a book. And I also started to translate some articles from Back to Godhead and decided to print a Back to Godhead in Bengali. So in this way I got engaged with various services. Then I got the news that Srila Prabhupada came to Bombay. Prabhupada was in Bombay. So I told Babananda Prabhu that I wanted to go to Bombay to meet Prabhupada. He said, you see, you may go to Bombay, but you won't be able to see Srila Prabhupada because no one knows there. no one knows you there. And besides that, Prabhupada's health is not good, so he's hardly meeting anybody. Rather, you wait, when Prabhupada comes here, you'll meet Srila Prabhupada. And since I also had a lot of service there, I accepted. And then we got the news that Srila Prabhupada came to, Srila Prabhupada went or going to Allahabad for Kumbh Mela. It was just the beginning of 77. So I went, a group of devotees were going to Allahabad to be with Srila Prabhupada from Mayapur. And I was included in that team. So we rented a bus. We traveled in a bus to Allahabad. It took us 2 days to drive to Allahabad. When we arrived in Allahabad, it was noontime. It was midday. As soon as I arrived, I just asked the devotees, where is Srila Prabhupada? Where Prabhupada was? And I just ran. I thought that I'll just go and meet Srila Prabhupada. And I found out that Prabhupada had a tent. But that area was covered by a wall made of corrugated tin sheets. And there was an entrance. So I tried to go in, and then there was a guard there. One big-bodied Western devotee was guarding the gate. And he stopped me and he told me that I could come in the evening to meet Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada would give darshan in the evening. So, a little disappointed, I just left. And then after a while, I was just walking around there. And then I saw Bhavananda Prabhu. He was carrying a basket of vegetables that he brought from Mayapur and taking it to Srila Prabhupada. And he told me, come, I'm going to Srila Prabhupada. Come, let's go to meet Srila Prabhupada. And I became very ecstatic and I ran behind him. And we went past the guard and went to, he walked straight into Prabhupada's room. And from outside I saw Prabhupada sitting behind a desk inside the tent. And I offered obeisances from outside. And then after offering the obeisances, when I tried to go in, then Prabhupada's secretary stopped me. And he said, Prabhupada is taking prasad, don't go in now. So another disappointment. And I was feeling bad that why did I offer obeisance to them? Like I should have just gone in with Bhavananda. And from these experiences, I decided, okay, from now on, I'm not just going to try to get close to Srila Prabhupada. I'll just watch Srila Prabhupada. I realized that how difficult or how rare it is to get close to Srila Prabhupada. And it's understandable. Prabhupada at that time had thousands of disciples and they all were dying to be with Srila Prabhupada. So, and who was I? Just a new bhakta. And so I would see Srila Prabhupada in the evenings. Prabhupada would give darshan. And Prabhupada would also, during Guru Puja, sometimes Prabhupada allowed us to worship him during the Guru Puja. And these are the times I would just go there and become one of the devotees. Didn't try to get close to Srila Prabhupada. And then one day we got the news that Srila Prabhupada was planning to go to Calcutta. All of a sudden Prabhupada decided to leave Allahabad and go to Calcutta. So So I just accepted, okay, Prabhupada wanted to leave. Prabhupada is going to Calcutta. But then after a while, Bhavananda came to me and said, Prabhupada is leaving for Calcutta. So I said, yes, I knew that, I heard that. He said, and you are also coming with us. And I literally jumped with joy. That, and he explained that a compartment, that a carriage has been hooked into a train, and Prabhupada would travel in that carriage. It's a first class carriage, and Prabhupada and a few devotees will travel with him. And I was included in that team. I could understand that it was his arrangement and out of his causeless mercy. And at night, the train left Allahabad, and I remember hundreds of devotees came to see Srila Prabhupada off, and when the train started to move, I was standing by the door, and I felt so proud due to my privileged condition that I was traveling with Srila Prabhupada. And so train started at night and we all took rest. Next morning I was chanting, and Bhavananda came to me and said, come, I'll take you to Srila Prabhupada. Now all these months I was waiting to get to see Srila Prabhupada, get to meet Srila Prabhupada. But when the time came to meet Srila Prabhupada, and it was just one compartment away from where I was, I felt completely, completely unqualified to go even near Srila Prabhupada. Some sort of fear just overtook me. And clearly Bhavananda could sense that. So he just grabbed me by my hand, and dragged me through the corridor and opened Prabhupada's door and pushed me in. And I fell flat on the ground offering obeisances. When I got up, I saw that Prabhupada was looking at me, and Prabhupada asked me to sit next to him. There was on the seat in front, sit next to him. There was on the seat in front, Bhavananda, Jayapataka Maharaj and Rameshwar Maharaj were sitting. Abhiram Prabhu, who was the temple president of Calcutta, he was sitting on the floor, and Prabhupada was sitting on the other seat. And Prabhupada asked me to sit next to him. So I said, Prabhupada, I would rather sit on the floor. Prabhupada insisted, no, sit here. So the blanket that was spread over the seat, I just rolled the corner of the blanket and sat on the edge of the seat. And after some initial exchanges, Prabhupada just told me, you translate my books into Bengali. And now it's a very major task. And so I expressed my inability. I asked Prabhupada, I never really translated anything before in Bengali. And Prabhupada said, doesn't matter. You just do it. And then he said, practice makes a man perfect. At least that gave me an easy access to Srila Prabhupada, that service. We came to Calcutta and Prabhupada asked me to translate, so I started to translate. and I would show it to Srila Prabhupada. I could go to Prabhupada anytime I wanted. And that was a very, very wonderful opportunity. And Calcutta as it is was my stomping ground, so to say. And Srila Prabhupada was in Calcutta. He stayed for a few days and I was there with him all the time. And then one evening, Prabhupada was giving darshan. And I was there also. Many important people came to meet Srila Prabhupada. And so the evening aratik started. So Prabhupada told everyone to go to the aratik. So everyone left, I also left. And I was standing in the aratik. And I was thinking that aratik I can participate any day. But to be with Prabhupada is so rare. So let me take this opportunity of being close to, being with Srila Prabhupada. So I just walked back to Srila Prabhupada's room. And at that time, as I walked in, it was kind of, I got a little shock. Because I saw Prabhupada was counting money. The people gave donations to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was counting that. You see, in India you grow up with the idea that the sadhus don't touch money. And here, Prabhupada was counting the money. But then immediately I brushed the thought aside, thinking that whatever Prabhupada does is perfect. And then Prabhupada just looked up and he says, "So, what do you want?" So I said, "Prabhupada, I just wanted to be with you." Prabhupada said, "Okay, sit down." And then Prabhupada counted the money and opened the drawer and kept it in there. And then he asked me again, "So, what do you want? You want to say something?" So I said, I just blurted out, "Srila Prabhupada, will you please give me initiation?" Because I had a fear that I heard that sometimes Prabhupada did not give initiation to some devotees who had been waiting for years together. 4 or 5 years they've been waiting and Prabhupada didn't give them initiation. And I was thinking that if that's what happens to me, then what will happen? If Prabhupada refuses to give me initiation, what will I do? So that's why with a lot of apprehension I asked that question, "Prabhupada, will you kindly give me initiation?" Prabhupada's response was, "Yeah, sure, I'll give you initiation." He said, "During the Gaur Purnima festival, I'll give you initiation." And then after Calcutta, Prabhupada went to Bhubaneswar. And I could have gone with Srila Prabhupada at that time to Bhubaneswar because I was practically with Prabhupada all the time. But I decided to stay back thinking that let me complete that book that I was printing, compilation of Prabhupada's articles. And because I got to know that Prabhupada very much appreciated when devotees printed his books. So I was trying to get the book. I thought that I'll print the book and offer it to Srila Prabhupada when he came back. And so then Prabhupada went to Bhubaneswar. After about 2 weeks, Prabhupada came back to Mayapur, and I was in Mayapur at that time. It was such a wonderful sight to see Prabhupada come back again. Because Prabhupada was very majestic, you see, like although he was old, but he was so straight. And when he would walk, like his head used to be very erect and straight. And often Prabhupada would just look up. His nose would be up. And even if he looked down, he would like look from there. And so Prabhupada got out of the car and he was walking. And it was another amazing sight was the devotees, there were many devotees in Mayapur because this was just before Gaur Purnima festival. And because Prabhupada was there, Gaur Purnima festival was in the corner, around the corner. So many devotees were there and they were chanting and dancing in ecstasy. And then Prabhupada just got out of the car and all the kirtan just stopped. All the devotees laid flat on the ground. And then when they got up, I could see that everyone's eyes were wet. They all were crying. I mean, such a sudden transformation, they were jumping and dancing in ecstasy. And all of a sudden, just the sight of Srila Prabhupada, and they all are crying. And so Prabhupada was such an amazing personality. Like, just his sight caused such amazing emotional upheaval in the hearts. And so this is how Srila Prabhupada came to Mayapur. Then one day Srila Prabhupada called me and he asked me whether he just gave me a stack of letters and he asked me to reply them. And so they were all in Bengali. So the way Prabhupada wanted me to reply them is I would read the letters out to him and then Prabhupada would give me the points, what to say, and then I had to write them, format the letter, and then I'd bring those letters back to Srila Prabhupada, read them out to Srila Prabhupada, and then Prabhupada would make some corrections if necessary, and then I would, on Prabhupada's letterhead, I would write the letters, the final copy, and then Prabhupada used to put the signature. So Prabhupada gave me a stack of Bengali letters. Then when I finished those Bengali letters, Prabhupada asked me whether I could write in Hindi. So I said, Prabhupada, yes, I can write in Hindi, but my Hindi handwriting is not so nice. Then Prabhupada said, no one's Hindi handwriting is nice. And then Prabhupada told me a joke. He said one man wrote a letter to his friend. And his friend wrote back saying that next time you write a letter, please send me the train fare also to go to you. So he wrote back asking, why do you want me to send the train fare? He said, because to figure out what you wrote, I have to go back to you. So that gave me some confidence. So then I started to write the Hindi letters also. It seemed that Prabhupada was satisfied with that service. And then one day Prabhupada told me that he wanted me to become his secretary for Indian affairs. And then he called Tamal Krishna Maharaj. At that time Tamal Krishna Maharaj was Prabhupada's secretary. And he called Tamal Krishna Maharaj and said, told him that, and he asked me to move into that room which was designated for his secretaries. So that gave me another good fortune of being in very close association with Tamal Krishna Maharaj. Tamalkrishna, I moved into that room and I stayed with Tamalkrishna Maharaj for about 10 months while we were serving Srila Prabhupada. Not only in Mayapur, wherever we went, we would share the same room. So this is how he started to serve Srila Prabhupada. Then, as Gauranga Prabhu brought up that point yesterday, at the time of initiation, I was told by Prabhu, it was Brahmananda Prabhu, Brahmananda Maharaj, he was a sannyasi at that time. He came and he just told me that Prabhupada decided to give me first and second initiation together. And so in this way I started to serve Srila Prabhupada in Mayapur. Tamalkrishna Maharaj was so wonderful. And his whole attention, his whole consciousness was how to please Srila Prabhupada, how to take care of Srila Prabhupada. And he had a very special relationship with Srila Prabhupada. Like he would ask Prabhupada kind of questions that I couldn't even dream of asking such questions. He was so intelligent and he would be so penetrating. And Prabhupada also was very, very affectionate towards him. He used to depend on Tamalkrishna Maharaj quite a lot, because Tamalkrishna Maharaj was very, very competent. And so in this way Srila Prabhupada started to train. I could see that how Prabhupada was training his disciples. And Prabhupada's health condition was not so good at that time. And one day, one doctor, who was Prabhupada's acquaintances from before, came to treat Srila Prabhupada. He was a very well-known Ayurvedic doctor. And he was, at that time, he was 92 years old. And he was blind. He became blind due to age. And he used to treat Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada hardly took any treatment. But Prabhupada used to be very friendly, and they used to often have nice discussions. And one day I could hear, Prabhupada was telling him about his achievements, so to say, his involvement in Krishna consciousness. And I could hear from Prabhupada's own mouth at that time about Prabhupada's involvement in Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada was telling him that how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur instructed him during the first meeting to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world through English language. And in the first meeting, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave him that instruction, and Prabhupada made that instruction his life and soul, his life's mission. He was in a very big position. Prabhupada was the manager of a pharmaceutical company at the age of 26. He was married, he had a child, and Prabhupada quit the job. And he wanted to serve his spiritual master's instructions. And then Prabhupada explained that how for so many years he tried to fulfill that instruction of spiritual master, but he didn't succeed. Prabhupada said that he was thinking that by running his business he will make a lot of money and then he will go to the West and preach. But he didn't succeed. Then finally, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent him to the West, he sent him as a pauper. He didn't have any money at all. But in such a short time, he could spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. And he mentioned that he learned from that, that when we are serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we won't have to worry about anything. Mahaprabhu will make all the arrangements. And he was telling how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu provided with everything that he needed. Men, money, all the arrangements were made by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Prabhupada was very emphatic that he did not do anything. It was his Guru Maharaj and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who did everything. Prabhupada was so humble. And Prabhupada also was mentioning that how wonderfully these American devout disciples of Srila Prabhupada helped him in fulfilling his spiritual master's instruction. So in this way Srila Prabhupada was just speaking. Prabhupada also mentioned that how his married life was not a very happy one. Because his wife did not take to Krishna consciousness. And that was Prabhupada's big disappointment. And so finally he left home. And he didn't want to leave home, but it became impossible for him. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada, I had the good fortune of hearing Prabhupada's own life story from Prabhupada's own mouth. Then, after Gaur Purnima, Prabhupada wanted to go to Bombay because a big program was arranged in Cross Maidan. And Prabhupada was going to leave for Bombay. And in a way, I felt that I was going to go with Srila Prabhupada because I was Prabhupada's secretary for Indian affairs. At least when Prabhupada is in India, I should go with him. But Bhavananda Prabhu, one day he told me, "You see, you shouldn't go with Srila Prabhupada." And it was just like it completely devastated me. Now I won't be able to go with Srila Prabhupada. And he just kept on insisting that I have so much to do in Mayapur, I'm taking up so many responsibilities. And then he explained that how serving the spiritual master in separation is higher than serving him personally. And he had done so much for me that I just couldn't say no to him. And so I just accepted it. But I was feeling very heavy in my heart that I won't be able to go with Srila Prabhupada. So it was a kind of a dilemma. And then fortunately, just day before or so, Prabhupada asked me, "Aren't you coming with me?" And I was actually waiting for this opportunity. So, and I said, "No, Srila Prabhupada, Bhavananda Maharaj told me." Serving in separation. So then Prabhupada's reply was, "Yes, that's true, but I think when your spiritual master wants you to serve him, I think you should serve him." And yeah, ask him. Yeah, please. Yeah. Okay. So then And then I went to Bhavananda Prabhu. I just ran actually. I told him, no, Prabhupada, this is what Prabhupada said. And I said, Prabhupada also told me to tell you that you should pay for my fare. So, thank you very much. So, today I have the local collector, district magistrate coming. We'll continue afterward. In the evening, yeah, 5:30 I will. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.